This is Daily Wager Extra. Here's Doug Kazarian.
Welcome into Daily Wager Extra. I am Doug Kazarian. We are taping this on Thursday, October 7th. Tonight we have Rams, Seahawks, Seattle off the win. An impressive win in San Francisco, and obviously the Rams off their first loss of the season at home to Arizona. We'll get to that with John Murray momentarily. Just want to... So Dodgers get the big win last night. Walk it off. Cover the run line as well. So they're going to play the Giants. They're about $1.70 favorite, I believe, in the series. I'm writing a story right now. It should post either today or tomorrow. Just how the Giants have such liability for a lot of books here in Las Vegas and elsewhere as well. Just the 100-1 that they entered the season with. They've already cashed as 40-1 long shots in the division to win the NL West, which they did by a game with 107 wins. Just remarkable. Went just the second team since the mid-90s to go at least 30 games over their win total entering the year. So their win total was 74.5. Obviously, 107 is more than 30 games. So just remarkable run. It provides context. So we'll have just the liability right now from a lot of books is really alarming some odds makers. So that's kind of a fun story as we enter the postseason. And just again, the plays are on ESPN.com, both NFL and college. And obviously the entire crew has plays for that. But let's get to the breakdown of this week's NFL card.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Kicking is for losers.
Yes, we are back with the man, John Murray, joining us again here. The man who's been red hot, white hot, in fact, in the bonanza.
Yeah, good start. Good start. I think you should caution people out there, though, when you talk about winning four bets in a row or losing four bets in a row is really nothing. Like, if we had a new customer lose four bets in a row, but he was always getting a good number and he was always betting the sharp sides of games, we would continue to keep an eye on that customer. And if we had a customer win four bets in a row that were just kind of random bets, we would continue to let him fire away. So it's a very small sample size, but it does feel good, and it's very satisfying, all this winning.
All right, so let's get into this. I want to talk about the Rams are steaming up a little bit. There's some threes popping up. What do you make of this? I do like the Rams side. Look, they had their first loss. I think you're getting a good team off a loss. That's always a good thing. McVay, for what it's worth, has a solid record off a loss, ATS. And but Russell Wilson, the Seahawks, certainly is a dog, and primetime have good stats too in terms of betting stats.
We talked last week. The Rams were in a tough spot last Sunday. They were off the win over Tampa Bay, and they had this game, tonight's game, looming. They were in a tough spot against Arizona, and it showed. They got manhandled by the Cardinals. So I agree with you. Could be a good spot to come back on the Rams, but the book is going to need Seattle really big tonight. It's almost a 5-1 ticket count on the Rams, -2.5 right now at the Superbook. But we're going to need Seattle pretty big. This looks like
really
a much bigger Thursday night decision for us than we've had the last couple of weeks. Last week, all we really had on that game was moneyline parlays and teasers. It started with the Bengals that almost lost, by the way. And the week before, I think, was that ridiculous Carolina-Houston game, which we really didn't have much money on. But this is shaping up to be our biggest Thursday night game in terms of handle and need since opening night, Dallas-Tampa Bay. We'll be pretty big Seahawks fans tonight.
Are you surprised that Russell Wilson and the Seahawks not getting more love?
A little surprised, especially when you think that Seattle had a very good win themselves on Sunday, winning at San Francisco. It was an impressive win for them. So, yeah, I would say it's a little surprising, especially with the home field advantage the Seahawks have always enjoyed. But I think it speaks to how well-regarded the Rams are. The Rams are considered, even after a bad loss on Sunday, the Rams are absolutely a viable Super Bowl contender, and they're considered to be one of the best teams in the league. And people are looking at this as a bounce back spot for the Rams.
How do you feel about the London game, our first one in a while?
I always forget about those, you know, because on Sundays I usually get here around 8 a.m. or so. And it's just like, it's always jarring when you walk into the book and there's a game on. What the hell?
So
it's
true.
Strange. 6:30 a.m. kickoff on the West Coast. Sharp money on the total in this game is really all that I can report. The total has been steamed up quite a bit from 43.5 all the way to 46. I don't know that I would want to get involved here on the side too much. I would probably stay away from that one, but I definitely can report some sharp money on the over there. And this game will get a little bit more volume than it would if it was at 10 a.m. local time, just because it's on its own. 9:30 on the East Coast. We are operating the Superbook in New Jersey, so I would imagine a good handle in New Jersey on that game, better than what we see in the West Coast.
Favorites are 17-11 against the spread in London games. I definitely agree with the line move here. It's funny, we did some overrated, underrated kind of things based on FPI and stuff early in the week, and I took the Jets as my team that I felt was underrated. Now, they're the second worst team in the NFL, according to FPI, but I just felt like, you know, they had a tough start to the year. They had to go at Carolina and at Denver in between. They hosted Belichick. So for a rookie quarterback going against those defenses, pretty difficult. And, you know, they obviously win against the Titans, which did not shock me that much at all. And I think 3 is still a little rich. I would make it 2.5 here with Atlanta, but 3.5 was not right at all.
The Jets saved us last week. They them beating Tennessee, that saved us. I know that obviously Tampa Bay didn't cover against New England on the Sunday night game, but they did win the game. And all the money line parlays that would have gone to Tampa Bay, that could have been really ugly if the Jets hadn't knocked out the Titans for us in the morning. Because all those other sides that were being thrown into every money line parlay, all of them won. Cincinnati won. Green Bay won. It was really just the Jets winning that saved us that day. For some reason, a lot of people did, or not as many people used New Orleans. I know the Saints lost to the Giants, but people backed off of the Saints in that spot. It was more of Bengals, Titans, Packers, Bucks. They were, and people, I guess, put them through Buffalo in there, but Buffalo didn't really pay anything.
So people
stayed away from that one as well. It was really the Jets beating the Titans that saved our day on Sunday.
Yeah, I saw some people took them in eliminators. I just thought that was baffling. Road teams, Titans were like missing two of their receivers. Just strange. But, okay, so that probably that'll get a little bit more handle than it normally would just because of the London. But it's early out here, 6:30. I mean, I'll be on air. We have a show 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. on Sundays, which is painful. But, yeah. And then
hey,
I
you were
radio
telling me when
afterwards.
I saw you, what was that, Tuesday? We were watching the wild card game, and you were telling me about your weekend schedule. Yikes.
Yeah.
That's tough, man. You're a grinder. You're a grinder.
Dari and Mel, 5:15 a.m. out here on Saturdays. I got to get hot, you know, for them. I've been 2-1 for a little bit and then 1-2 last week. We won't go there. Okay, so in terms of the morning games, we'll get to the Sunday night game. Obviously, that's the big one. Everyone's building up for that one. But there's a lot of, like, short numbers here, and I think this is the week where you start to, like, kind of really solidify playoff-bound teams, or at least teams in the playoff discussion, and then some teams that we know. Like, we're going to learn about Philly and Carolina this weekend, right? Like, Panthers started 3-0. Got beat up a little bit by Dallas last week. If they come back and cover the 3, it's like, okay, so now they're frisky. They just lost to a good Dallas team on the road. But if they lose again, that's like, all right, maybe the easy schedule to start. And same with New Orleans and Washington, I feel. Even Tennessee, which I can't imagine you're gonna need the Jags for your lungs.
We're gonna need the Jaguars every week until they show a pulse. That's how it works in the NFL. So as long as the Jaguars are losing every week, although they played well on Thursday night in fairness, but they're losing every week, so the public is betting against them every week. It's that simple. So yeah, Jacksonville will be one of our biggest needs in the morning. Not our biggest need. Our biggest need will be by far the Bengals. That game is setting up to be just your classic wise guy versus public game. Very sharp money in the market in Nevada. Took Bengals +3, even money. In this game, a very sharp group took the Bengals, and then the public, of course, is all over Green Bay. I think it is our most lopsided take account of the whole week, and then you've got the wise guys on the other side. Just a classic setup of the pros versus Joes games that people love to talk about.
Where do you think this number ends up?
It's not going to go back up because that group that took +3 even, they'll take it again if it goes back that way. I mean, I guess it could go that way, but they'll just bet it again. So I think it's actually more likely to go down than up. I think you might see 2.5. That to me is more likely than you're not going to see a 3.5. I would be shocked if you saw 3.5 with the Bengals.
Yeah, so that would be a reverse line movement. It went the other way. I see 1.5 in the market, but the juice is corresponding. I think that's, you're right, that's a fascinating game. And then I think just what's happening with Urban Meyer and everything, I think the Jags are going to be just bet against even more so this week. And, you know, the Titans on that short number, like you talk about, teams with short numbers on the road, people like to get behind. I'm a little torn with Eliminator. I mean, you got Minnesota at home as a 9.5-point favorite. You got the Patriots at Houston, which I don't like to do road teams in the NFL for the Survivor, but it's going to be hard not to take the Pats to at least win there in these morning games.
I'm personally leaning towards Minnesota. Very respected group, laid 7.5 with Minnesota. Mm. And then if you look at, like, the other option for me is, because I've already used Tampa Bay. I famously used them in week one.
Yes,
with a plan to buy back in if they lost. never in doubt, if you remember that.
Of course not.
So, no, Tampa Bay's off the board for me. So, it's got to be New England or Minnesota. New England's got, later in the season, they've got home games against the Jets and I think Jacksonville as well. And this looks like the best time to use Minnesota. There's really no other time you'd really want to get involved with the Vikings. They do play at Detroit later in the year. But this week, they get them at home. And I saw a very sharp group lay 7.5 with Minnesota. So that would lead me to recommending the Vikings as your
Detroit,
week 5.
Detroit's been a tough team to read. Like, they're pretty incompetent, but then they're frisky at times.
Yeah. They've shown life, and I find the coaching staff funny. You know, like Campbell reminds me of PC Principal, so that's funny. And Anthony Lynn is their offensive coordinator. It's an amusing team. I like watching the Lions, but I don't see them winning this game against Minnesota.
No.
Although Minnesota's been pretty underwhelming through the first 4 weeks, to put it nicely. But they need this game. This is a big game for them. They have to win this game.
They do. Denver, Pittsburgh. Like I talked about earlier, we're gonna find out about Denver, right? Like I liked them last week. Obviously, didn't get there. Bridgewater injury didn't help, but I think Ravens were winning that game for sure. I mean, they were down 7-0, but all Ravens after that. Pittsburgh showed some life last week. I know there's some sharps on the +7, almost backdoored it. And, you know, Rodgers was just some incredible third down conversions. I would imagine Denver should take care of business against this weak Pittsburgh team, but injuries, especially with TJ Watt and stuff, that dictates so much for me.
Well, you know, I was between using Indianapolis and Pittsburgh on the show that we did last week. I mean, there was a lot of sharp people playing Pittsburgh. Everybody was taking Green Bay. The public was taking Green Bay, and the line was moving down anyway, and the public won that one. So you got to be careful just blindly following any of these trends. Like I always on these shows, I always hear these people talking about reverse line movement and closing line value, and they don't even know what they're talking about. But Pittsburgh was reverse line movement and it lost. So these things are not guaranteed to happen. As for this week's game, did see some sharp people take Denver +1. That was this morning. This morning, some sharp money came in on the Broncos. I can't see myself getting involved here. I just don't trust either of these teams right now. And I think it's a big difference between Bridgewater and Drew Lock.
Oh, you know, there's no way I would bet on him. He's terrible.
Drew Lock just looked completely lost in that game. I agree with what you said. I think Baltimore was going to win anyway, but man, he looked like he'd never been out there before. It was ridiculous. Baltimore is not a great defensive team, and he looked completely lost out there.
It's funny, so much back and forth between Fangio and Harbaugh regarding how the last minute went. I was actually laid 10.5 live. Once Lock got in there, I laid the 10.5. So you got Lamar Jackson throwing a couple times in the red zone when I'm trying to like chew clock and then Denver's they're calling timeouts, moving the ball, and then they threw to the end zone. I mean, again, I'm sweating out 10.5. So you got the interception in the end zone, thank God. And then, you know, the guy who's won 20 straight preseason games is still running plays instead of taking a knee. Go figure. I mean, I just think it's all kind of funny, and Fangio getting mad is just funny too. But I think Pittsburgh's pretty bad.
Fangio getting mad was pretty silly, if you ask me. I don't know. I who cares? Pittsburgh, we talked about how lost Drew Lock looked. We'll talk about lost on offense, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we'll see what they bring to the table. I mean, look at that total. That total tells you everything you need to know about that game. With Superbook, we got the total at 39.5. You don't see totals like that anymore, you know, for us seasoned guys. That's what the totals in the NFL were when we were young men. You don't see 39.5 too often, although there is another 39.5 New England at Houston later in the same but another just dreadful matchup.
Houston's pretty bad. Like, Houston's bad with Davis Mills.
As long as Davis Mills is in their quarterback, they're obviously just a huge play against team. And they're a good – and New England's a good survivor opportunity as well. I'm leaning to Minnesota because I saw some smart people take Minnesota, and because I think New England's got other games down the line that I'd like to keep them open for, whereas the Vikings don't really have any games on their schedule right now. Now, of course, a quarterback could get hurt in week 12 and they might be a huge favorite or whatever. But for the moment, right, I don't really see any other times to use the Vikings.
Let's go to the afternoon games. Really intriguing matchups across the board. I'll start here in Las Vegas. Raiders came back to earth a little bit. Nice second half effort. Chargers are good, though. So they get the loss finally. Their first one of the season with Justin Fields and the Bears in town. You're looking at 5.5. I'm not sold on Fields because I don't think the staff knows what they're doing. Like, Lazor obviously did a much better job with him than Nagy. It's just a comedy. It's a circus of ineptitude, if you will. So I think Las Vegas is in a good situation to get back on track here. I don't know what to think of this Bears team yet.
Well, I also don't think the staff knows what it's doing. I'll put it, that's about as nicely as I can put that. But I do think the Bears are making the right move playing Fields. But is Fields in a position to succeed? I don't think any quarterback could be in a position to succeed with that coaching staff. The public is all over the Raiders here in Nevada, of course, right? I mean, everyone's betting the Raiders, like a 5-to-1 ticket count. Probably our biggest need in the afternoon. I think it's going to be a bigger need. We'll need the New York Giants against Dallas, but I think our big decision in the afternoon is going to be the Chicago Bears for sure.
You really? Okay, because I thought some of these other games are more intriguing, but you're right. I guess with the Las Vegas flavor, that could be a ticket count, because I think Chargers-Browns is super compelling. Really different styles, and again, this goes back to what I was saying for the early slate of games. We're going to learn a lot about both these teams. Like, Chargers? I wrote about this on my Monday column that I do for the futures market and kind of talk about a Super Bowl pick or MVP pick. I think the Chargers are live at 20-1. Their schedule's not that bad, and it drops off after this week and next week. I believe they're Baltimore next week. But this is a winnable game. Obviously, they're 1.5-point favorites at home to Cleveland, and the Browns are not explosive. I think I read that Baker Mayfield's got the lowest QBR under pressure. So if you can get to him, it's really limited offense. But obviously their defense is solid and their O-line is solid when they run the ball.
Yeah, the Chargers, we talked about them before the season started, how they have one of the most talented rosters in the NFL until all these guys get hurt. And so far they haven't got hurt. You still got Derwin James out there. You still got Joey Bosa out there. Justin Herbert is one of the best quarterbacks in the entire league, not just young quarterbacks. He's one of the best QBs in the league.
Yeah.
So as long as they keep these guys healthy, their roster is as good as anyone else's. And I definitely liked seeing Brandon Staley. He was very aggressive on fourth downs on Monday night, which I thought was good.
Oh, yeah, he must have loved that.
I do. I mean, he's doing these things that you and I have talked about for years, should be no-brainer decisions, but people get all excited when they happen. Having said all that, I kind of lean the other way in this game. You know, I think that I think this is going to be a game where Cleveland's going to show that they're one of the best teams in the league. And I kind of lean the other side. We've taken a lot of money on the Chargers here, though. So I think that Cleveland's going to find a way to get this game done. I just think Cleveland's better than the Chargers are.
Yeah, no, I like this Chargers team. You're right, though. But I think as we get younger with coaches like Staley, they're more likely to have played Madden football growing up, which is basically the only training you need for some of these decisions. And
the only thing you need to do is ask yourself, what does my opponent want me to do? And then just do the opposite. It's so simple.
I know.
If your opponent is praying you're going to send your field goal unit out there, don't send your field goal unit out there. It's not that hard. I guarantee you that the Tampa Bay coaching staff was very happy when they saw New England trot out their kicking unit for a 56-yard field goal that if it somehow went in, Brady would still have a minute to come back the other way.
And just need a field goal, right?
I mean, I don't want to be out here questioning Bill Belichick, but he's forcing me to with that decision.
I agree with you. So just to recap, the Chargers are at Baltimore next week. Then they get New England at home. But you're looking at Philly, Minnesota at home, Steelers at the Bengals, Giants. Mm-hmm. I mean, they already have a win against the Chiefs. They do get the Chiefs at home. It could be a nice run. The
Chargers have always been a play against team as a home favorite. That's been the case for a long time, and I certainly would imagine you're going to get a lot of Cleveland Browns fans at SoFi Stadium on Sunday. The same way there were a lot of Cowboy fans there a few weeks ago. The same way there were a lot of Raider fans there Monday night. That looked like a Raiders home game.
Well, there's just more Raider fans in L.A. than there are Chargers. Sure. You know, I grew up there. I would have gone to the game. And obviously the Chargers have the San Diego roots. Speaking of the Cowboys, let's go to that game. That's a survivor option for those who are interested in that. 7-point favorites at home to the Giants. Giants a little frisky these days. Rally, get the overtime win. The weapons are starting to flourish. Obviously, Saquon showing some flashback of his pre-injury days. And then Galladay had a big reception. Danny Dash, as I like to call him, because my best bet on the show was over 26.5, and he got to 27 rushing yards. Nice. So Danny Dash is what we needed there.
Never in doubt.
I would lay this. I mean, this Dallas team might be good, actually. I'm under 9.5 wins for them, but I'm a little worried.
Well, I don't think there's any might about it. I mean, Dallas to me looks like they're right up at the top of the NFC right now. The in terms of roster, the problem that the Cowboys have is they've got a bonehead coach. It's the same problem they've had for years. I don't know who does the drafting in Dallas, but that guy does a great job because they always seem to be unearthing these players that are just tremendous players out of the draft. Unfortunately, they give all these guys to Jason Garrett and then Mike McCarthy, and that's what's holding the Cowboys back. This is a roster that could be a Super Bowl team. I think there's enough talent there in Dallas. A lot of money line parlays and teasers with Dallas this week. And people will probably use Dallas in survivor pools as well. Although the Giants are frisky and they knocked a lot of people out last week, because I know a lot of people use New Orleans.
Yeah, two rules I like to live by, especially this early in the season: no road teams and no division games. And they just know each other. I know it's a new staff relatively for each of these teams, but for the most part, like Kellen Moore remained. I would just try to avoid Dallas.
You got Jason Garrett on one sideline against Mike McCarthy on the other side. That is what a matchup! What a meeting of the minds that'll be on NFL Game of the Week.
Do you think there'll be similar, like, attention media wise that there was with Brady back in Foxborough as it is Jason Garrett back in Dallas?
I'm going to say a little bit more scaled back, a little more subdued, but a big homecoming for Garrett.
Let me throw this out there. Is there any chance Dak Prescott does not win comeback player of the year?
We talked about that. I mean, certainly, obviously we're talking in week 5. I mean, he could get injured would be one way. He looks like the favorite right now. But you dropped another name to me on Tuesday that I thought was lost.
So I wrote about this, just saying he's -170 now, but like Joe Burrow is 7-1. That's the next closest favorite, if you will. And then Sam Darnold 11-1.
Oh yeah, Darnold. Yeah, you mentioned Darnold to me.
McCaffrey's hurt, but he's like 25-1.
Darnold looked very good. And you know that I've said before, I think the Jets should have kept Darnold and then tried to trade that second overall pick down to somebody that was looking to move up and take Wilson or Lance. That's what I would have done. I mean, and Wilson might end up being good, but I've always been a Darnold apologist. I've always liked him, and he's hard to go against. He's got real coaching in Carolina, and it's showing.
-170, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. He's in the MVP conversation too. He's 10-1. I just think I'm not saying it's free money because anything can happen, but that should be like -300. Like, who's not going to vote for him at this point?
I can't say that
there's no slowing down. There's no slowing down that offense. It's not like he's going to just start playing poorly.
I agree with that because the Cowboys just have talent all over the place. I mean, the only way that they would be slowed down would be because Mike McCarthy is their coach. The talent level there is through the roof. Very good team.
Dallas, only team still undefeated ATS this season, 4-0, and they are 7-point home favorites. Another game, so for the only undefeated ATS team to the only undefeated team overall, Arizona, 4-0. They were 50-1 in an index betting to be the last undefeated team in the NFL. So well done for anyone who jumped on the Cardinals there. It's a really tough spot from an Arizona standpoint, but they are catching San Francisco at the right time. I mean, Niners got some Jimmy G issues. Trey Lance looked lost, inserted mid-game last week, although they did outgain Seattle by 240 yards, I want to say. So it was – look, I was on Seattle in that game, gave it away in the bonanza. Seattle was lucky to be tied at half. They should not have been. And then, obviously, Lance and all that stuff. So If I had to play this, I would take the 5.5, but it's not like Niners are not that sharp, man. They're not the same offense when they were healthy a couple years ago in the Super Bowl run. Defense isn't quite as potent. They're just guys aren't open, as awesome as Shanahan is, but he's obviously much better in the dog role than he is the favorite.
Yeah, I've been really disappointed in the Niners through 4 weeks. I thought they were going to be one of the best teams in the NFC this season.
Yeah, me too.
And just because they got healthy, they've added Trent Williams. Trent Williams got hurt in that Seattle game, so keep an eye on that. He left that game. Jimmy G's out for this game Sunday. Everyone is going to bet Arizona. You know, I mentioned earlier that our most one-sided ticket count is Green Bay, Cincinnati. That is true. The second most one-sided, or the second most lopsided count, excuse me, is Arizona. We're going to need San Francisco pretty big in this game. It's not going to be as much of a volume game as Bears Raiders. That's why, in terms of dollars, we'll be bigger Bears fans than 49ers fans. But the public is all over Arizona in this game, big time. So we will be rooting for San Francisco. Kyler Murray, now the NFL MVP favorite at the Super Bowl. We've got him at 9-2. Mahomes is 5-1. Josh Allen 7-1. Dak Prescott 8-1. We opened Kyler Murray 25-1. He's been unbelievable through the first 4 weeks.
And five of the last six MVP winners were at one point 25-1 or longer entering the season. So just crazy if that trend continues. I've been not poo-pooing it, but I've been saying easy. He might just be the MVP. I mean, I have been saying don't buy, it's too late, you've missed it. But you know, people said that about Otani when he was like 2-1, and of course he closed minus 4,000. So I just don't know if Arizona is going to have a 1 or 2 seed, and usually that is the kind of cutoff for MVP. But we've had outlier cases. We, you know, in other sports, we just had Devontae Smith win the Heisman. We've had Russell Westbrook as a 6 seed in the NBA win the Heisman. So if they get in the playoffs as like a 5 seed, a 4 seed, and he's like dynamic and awesome with stats and everything, then he could easily get it. I mean, Peyton Manning won it twice, not being a 1 or a 2 seed.
Well, you got this Sunday night game this week that could go a long way to shaping the NFL MVP pool, because you've got, in my opinion, the two best young quarterbacks in the NFL. I would take these guys slightly ahead of Justin Herbert. Mahomes and Allen are second and third favorites going head-to-head on Sunday Night Football. Really a much better game than the extremely hyped game last week, which was, I understand why that game was so hyped. I'm not downplaying it, but this is probably the best Sunday Night Football matchup of the whole year. You've got Buffalo going to Kansas City.
So yeah, I want to talk more about this, because it's funny. I wrote this as like it's a kind of like a swing game, if you will, potentially for the MVP, because currently, so even with a game at Kansas City, Buffalo has the third easiest schedule remaining, according to FPI. So if they just get through Kansas City, what if they win here? They're 2.5-point road underdogs. Then I think Josh Allen is like your second favorite or favorite, because obviously I'm assuming he's going to play well if they win. And thus they have a road game at Tampa, road game at New Orleans. And like, that's it. Like, their division's easier than we thought now because of the injury to Tua, and the Patriots not quite there yet. And Buffalo just looks sharp. Like, they are solid. So Kansas City. So we had Seth Walder of FBI on the show, and just basically the Chiefs defense is like last in a lot of categories. It's like that bad. In the past, they've just been sort of average, which has been enough for that offense. But KC's defense is really bad. They get the cover last week, finally a double digit win. So they're 3-13 or something like that in their last 16 ATS dating back to last year, including the playoffs. I like Buffalo here. I just do. I like their team total over. It's probably my favorite play of the weekend.
A lot of support for Buffalo here. To your point, you know, that Kansas City's defense has looked so bad through the first month of the season, whereas Buffalo is one of the few teams. Their defense has been great, 2 shutouts already. They're also very good offensively. Buffalo's maybe the most complete team in the NFL right now, and I agree with everything you said about Allen. Everything is set for him to succeed. He's got a great defense that puts him in a great position. He's got a very easy schedule in that division. He's got a very good coaching staff, and they put some weapons around him. So everything is there for Allen to seize the league MVP and emerge as one of the best players in the league, which I believe that he is. So I think this game will be a part of the MVP discussion, but it's really more about Buffalo's final record could be so good because their schedule is so easy and they keep winning these games so easily. I think Allen definitely very live to be the MVP.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point, right? So just to recap, 13 of the last 14 MVPs have been quarterbacks. 11 of those 13 have been a 1 or a 2 seed. So that's why I was mentioning that earlier. So obviously, if Kansas City gets a third loss in its first 5 games, it's going to be really tough for it to kind of get up there, if you will.
Absolutely.
But you're looking at team total like 27-ish. You know, 20, there's some 29s with like a lot of plus money. I mean, look, Patrick Mahomes is awesome. I just, if he pulls a game out in such a short line, I just trust that Buffalo is going to be able to score against this defense. I don't think.
Well, so we've made the whole thing about the two quarterbacks, and that's going to be the narrative. But the bottom line is that Allen has a lot more around him than Mahomes does right now. I think just in terms of having nothing helps a quarterback more than having a great defense, always giving him good field position, not having to put a ton of points on the board. Mahomes is having to do a lot on his own. I mean, he's got some good weapons around him, but his defense is letting him down big time. And the offensive line hasn't really looked too good from what I've seen. So Allen is in a much easier position to succeed in than Mahomes is. Mahomes is asked to do a lot more.
Nice run for this Bills team. Combined score in their last two wins, 99-0. You don't see that often.
Didn't they destroy the Redskins in between those two shutouts? I mean, that was the one game where like Buffalo's defense didn't pitch a shutout, so Allen actually had to do something, and he threw for like 400 yards and 5 touchdowns or something. I mean, Buffalo is a machine right now, and they're very effective on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, they won 43-21. They've outscored their opponents by 99, something like that. I butchered that, but it's there's something about 99. Maybe they've covered the spread by 99 or something. They do lead the NFL in cover margin right now.
Wow.
Averaging like plus 13.9, so basically 2 touchdowns. So of course, it helps when you win 40-0 and 35-0. That skews the numbers a little bit, but you're right. They had a really convincing win. I loaded up on that game. I laid the 7.5 in that game, and I pressed at halftime. That was a fun game.
And we can't use Buffalo and Survivor. You know, we talked last week about that. That's what I used. I don't understand. I know people were telling me they were going to save them for week 17 at home against Atlanta, week 18 at home against the Jets. I don't think you can be saving somebody for week 17 right now. We just don't know what the league is going to look like in week 17.
Right. So definitely not week 18. Never want to do the last week, but also just depends on how big your pool is. Right. I mean, so like, if you're in like a 15 person pool, probably not going to go 17 weeks, but if you're in a huge monumental one, then it's likely to, even with a huge upset here and there. Monday Night Football. This Ravens team obviously struggled, a little choppy out of the gates, blew the lead to the Raiders in the opener, bounced back, nice win against the Chiefs, had the Tucker field goal against Detroit, and then solid win last week. So they only have one loss in the year and starting to find their sea legs, if you will, after all the injuries kind of disrupted things, I would imagine, to start. Colts finally get a win, and you're looking at a 7-point spread in the old there's got to be some the Baltimore Indy, Boomer's going to have a nick, the moving truck bowl or something, something like that.
I don't think the people that listen to this show probably don't even remember that the Colts moved to Baltimore. That was so long ago.
Middle of the night with moving trucks.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Sure. The Colts looked good on Sunday. A nice win at Miami. I liked them last week. They've still got a lot of injuries they're dealing with. Quentin Nelson's out for this game. They got some banged up guys on defense. This total has been bet down quite a bit. I mean, we opened this total 49.5. We've been bet all the way down to 45.5. Some really sharp groups came in on the under in this game. So keep an eye on that. There's really not a whole lot to report on the side. No one's really looking at this game right now in terms of the side betting. The public's not paying any attention. They're focused on the Rams tonight and then some of the favorites on Sunday, like Green Bay. There's really very little action on this game as compared to the last couple of Monday night games, Philadelphia, Dallas, and Raiders, Chargers. We had really good write on those games. But so far, this one not getting much attention.
Home teams, 4-0 ATS so far this season on Monday Night Football, for whatever that's worth. Although road teams are the ones covering on Thursdays, which is kind of funny. But who knows? All right, man.
Time
for the bonanza. All right, Mr. Executive Director En Fuego, white hot. 4-0 to start the year. So well done on that front. Impressive little start to the season. Everyone's raving about you. I took a hit a couple weeks ago in the red, still in the red, but we're climbing out. I think 2-1 last week.
Yeah, just making it look easy is what I think I'm doing. I mean, remember I had that really easy win with Miami plus 4 against the Raiders. I mean, that was just like a layup for me.
No doubt.
Am I on the T-box here?
You absolutely are.
You know, there's a few games I like this week, and I've actually seen a lot of sharp plays this week. Like, we touched on some sharp guys on Minnesota. We touched on the Bengals being the big pros versus Joe's game. There's a lot of sharp guys betting Philadelphia at Carolina, but you can't get to 3.5 anymore. So I think what I'm going to go with as my official play for 1,000 is Cleveland +2. I think they're going to win that game on Sunday afternoon against the Chargers. I think they go out there and they get that win.
So you're not going to press or anything?
No, I honestly don't like anything as much as I like Miami 2 weeks ago. I mean, the spot that I should have pressed, the play that I liked the most so far this whole year was Carolina against New Orleans. I knew that line was terrible, and I should have pressed harder on that one. I got gun shy. It was week two, you know. Yeah. I chickened out on that one.
You did chicken out. You didn't know you're going to be so hot to start the season.
True, that's true. But I'll go Cleveland +2 for 1K. And then I'll cede the tee box to you.
So of all the bets on there, that's your favorite play? Just a coin flip game based on the odds, essentially.
I like the Bengals too. I think the Bengals are going to get it done, but I'll go with Cleveland here. Okay. I just don't trust Philadelphia. You know, I know a lot of wise guys
not good.
Are on them.
That's why,
and I understand why, but I feel more comfortable with the Browns.
Okay. Obviously, I'm a little up and down. By the way, for the ESPN chalk column, I didn't like the card that much. I just went 3 teasers. They all hit. Nice teaser.
You know what your problem is? You're being too conservative. You're not being yourself. You know, you're like what was it that one time you had a play for 500, and I was like, what the hell is going on here? This isn't you. This is you're not. You've got to let it go. You got to let your hands go.
Just let it go. Yeah. We'll get to boxing in a little bit. I'm just going to play that team total with the Bills. There's a part of me that wants to go big position on the Rams tonight and then play back and go for the middle and go for the jugular, the knockout, if you will, to let the hands go.
Wow.
I just don't want to, like, dig myself a hole against Russell Wilson and stuff. Like, there's just better situations to do this against. So I'm just going to go team total 27.5 minus 10. I'll do this for 2 dimes. How about that? I'm letting the hands fly. We'll do
I
that.
I like it.
27.5. So I need like just 4 touchdowns. That's all we need. Easy does it. Don't worry about the defense.
With that offense and the Kansas City defense, and the other thing in Buffalo's favor is their defense is playing so well. They're getting you some short fields, and the offense is definitely capitalizing on that on Buffalo's side.
Yeah, it's just I'd rather, you know, nowadays with the menus that we have now, so many props, and there's just more opportunities, and I really want to isolate what I think is going to happen, right? So, like, let's say in the old days, I would just have to play the game over or something like that, even though I just liked one team particularly to score. Because you're right, that defense, I mean, look, Mahomes is a magician, and I don't think either team's going to just matriculate the ball up the field. I think we're going to get some chunk plays. So, back and forth, and I'll have some opportunities with Buffalo. And
I'm a man of the people though, DK. That's why I'm always trying to give just a side play. Every Joe Schmo has got access to that stuff.
The people now have options though. There's no limited menus. We're good. maybe I'll join in on Twitter a little bit. Maybe that early game.
Okay.
Maybe we'll have to get the Jets plus. No, I'm not going to. I've been really trying to avoid betting bad teams, right? Like, you know, I was annoyed with being on the Broncos last week. I think they're a good team. I even think they're a playoff contender. But in general, like, they're kind of bad, right? Like, I like betting good teams.
On offense, they've looked a little lost at times on the offensive side of the ball, yeah.
Okay. All right, my man. We got more October baseball with the Dodgers. So it's an exciting time here.
Yeah. And, exciting is one word for it. Let's just say that here at the Superbook, we will be rooting for your Dodgers all weekend.
Yes. You don't want the Giants.
No, sir.
All right, my man. Great stuff as always. I know the people appreciate it, and we'll talk next week.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Daily Wager Extra podcast. Of course, the regular 10-minute edition is Monday through Friday, in and out, post around 12:30 p.m. Eastern, give or take a few minutes. And good stuff over there. We have props as well on the weekends, and then the Sunday night one I've been doing with Mackenzie Kramer, our researcher extraordinaire. So a lot of good content out there for you, and best of luck to everyone this weekend.